table of contents, not a specific table of contents, but just enough of a table of contents so you can understand a little bit what kind of issues are in the sugya and what kind of questions are questions that will be addressed more later, so we don't necessarily focus on them now. But the first thing we want to figure out is the basis for kfiya in Gittin and the reality that the Gemara establishes it and what exactly that draws on, what does it represent. Then we can talk about what conditions justify kfiya. Then we can talk about what constitutes kfiya, because it's very possible that a lot of what you read about today in terms of what's done in such situations is done under the premise that it does not rise to the level of kfiya. So it's just as important, you know, to know what we're talking about, what we're not talking about, before we get into details. So a lot of the activism that you're either encouraged or not encouraged, depending on the circumstances to be involved in, may not necessarily be treated as kfiya. So one shouldn't necessarily assume that what we are talking about here automatically translates to that. So we have to figure out what is kfiya based on, when is kfiya justified, what constitutes kfiya, which would then also tell us what's not kfiya, which might be justified even if kfiya is otherwise not justified. And then after we're able to talk about that, then we could also talk about the consequences of unjustified kfiya, the questions of get mu'usa and the like. And then also there are questions of other approaches. Are there circumstances where a get is not needed in the first place because of a mistake or something along those lines? What exactly are the consequences of the concept of afkeinu rabbanam the kedushin inay, which is a gemara that appears in a number of places but appears in Ksuvos as well? And are there other approaches that don't have to draw on either kfiya or quasi-kfiya? So these are some of the topics. So just to get a sense, a little bit of the range of different chapters, so to speak, that have to be in that discussion. So that's what we have ahead of us. Before going into that, just a little bit of a hosafa, main yana dioma. So we spoke yesterday about a tshuva of Nasan Gishtetner, as we often do, tshuva in the Laharis Nasan. So just to mention another tshuva in another volume of the Laharis Nasan. So Shaul brought up a question yesterday, which I said was dealt with extensively in Poskim, and we didn't want to get into it yesterday, and we still won't get into it, but it's related. So you asked about selling somebody's chametz against their will, that if somebody is about to go into Pesach owning chametz, so is there a mechanism to, so to speak, force them to sell the chametz? As alluded to, it's a topic that Poskim do consider and has all kinds of clear complications to it. But not to address that, but a related topic. So, in the Laharis Nasan, there is a tshuva. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma that, let's say, somebody steals chametz. And another person, after this person has stolen, robber A steals chametz. And then arsonist B comes in and burns the chametz that robber A stole. So arsonist B is putter for the hezek. Now, had this happened after Pesach, when chametz is not usur in the Torah, so then the arsonist would be liable to pay the robber. Why? Because this is called a hezek of a davar hagorim l'mamum. That the robber, it's not his, he's going to have to give it back or pay for it to the person he stole it from. But since he has to do that, and now he's not going to be able to, he takes a loss because this guy came and burnt it. So the arsonist has a debt to him. But if he did it on Pesach, so then he's potter, because chametz hakol mitzuvin olav levaro. Everyone is obligated to destroy it. So what exactly does that mean? So here at the Laharis Nasan, discussing that, he suggests that this is actually a function of our opening sugya of Ksubis Daf Pevav, that this has to do with kfiya al hamitzvos. That since there is an isser to own chametz on Pesach, so theoretically, and here again we'd have to assume it's more theoretical like this other discussion, because the legality is involved, but at least theoretically, one would be entitled to burn the chametz of another person, so that he not find himself in violation of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. And he considers this to be within the parameters of Kfiya, because, like we find sometimes the expression in the Gemara, Ad Shnikifu Begufo, Kufufo BeMamono, that if we're going to consider beating him up, so better we should take away his physical property rather than beat him up. Probably he'd prefer that. So instead of having to beat him up and have him destroy his chametz, let's just destroy his chametz directly. So that is interesting because he doesn't get into all this, but if you want to compare this to the tshuva that we discussed yesterday, so it has something to do, as far as the Yonah Yomer are concerned, with what the mitzvah of Tashbisu is. That this is the whole question in the Achronim, there's a mitzvah about it, mitzvah tes, and many others talk about this from different angles, that the Torah has a mitzvah of Tashbisu. Focus for a moment on the Yonah Yomer, and that means, on the surface, that we should destroy the chametz that we have. So it's a big discussion. What does that mean practically? Does that just mean that we should not have chametz? Or, in other words, is it basically the positive correlate of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh? Torah says, do not own chametz and destroy the chametz that you have. Or is it actually to be viewed as a kiyum mitzvah? That there is some positive idea in destroying the chametz. So that's a whole discussion. It comes up. Some posts can discuss if you happen not to have chametz before Pesach, should you acquire chametz so that you can get rid of it? Others thought that's not really a possibility according to anybody, but it just might mean that Tashbisu doesn't apply to somebody who doesn't have chametz. It's all about the active element. So this is a discussion. The Ches Chinuch has many nafkaminas in this discussion. One of the questions is that can you be mekayim tashbisu through eating chametz? Nafkamina for your defense attorney in Shemayim, that when you're after 120, so somebody's up in Shemayim and they're saying, oh, you ate chametz on Pesach, you're in trouble. So can your defense attorney who's searching for any possible source, can you say, yeah, but he's mekayim tashbisu. So is there a kiyum mitzvah that's involved there also? It's the mitzvah of Avi Aveir. How exactly do you look at that? So one of the questions that comes up is that we have a concept that if somebody steals a mitzvah from you, so then they have to pay you a sarah zehuvim, which means, let's say, for example, you're about to give a bris milah to your son, and another guy walks past and says, oh, look, an eight-day-old boy, I'll go circumcise him. And he jumps up and does this before you have a chance to, so he has to pay you a sarah zehuvim after he gets out of jail. So the assumption there is that this is your schus, this is your mitzvah, and he stole the mitzvah from you, so he has to pay. So the Mechasinuch discusses that, let's say, it's Erev Pesach, and you have your chametz all in a pile, you're about to burn it, and all of a sudden the guy comes with a flamethrower and says, oh, look, chametz, I'll destroy it, and he destroys your chametz for you. So does he owe you a sarah zehuvim? So the premise of the question is that should we say that this is your mitzvah, and he stole a mitzvah opportunity from you? Or should we say that, no, there's no real mitzvah in destroying chametz. There's an inyan not to have chametz. So if you don't have chametz, you are in full compliance with this mitzvah. There's no merit specifically associated with the act of destroying it. Now, this could be related in general to whether there's one specific form of tashbis or anything works. Machlokas Tanoim in the Gemara and Pesachim. You say that Angir chametz elav esreifer. You say hashbasasu b'chol davar. Maybe that's the whole question. Is it just about the practicalities of not having chametz, you don't care how you do it? Or is there a specific kiyum ha-mitzvah in not having chametz? So just to put all this together, and I'll take questions in a second. So again, he does not make the connection between his tshuva here and the tshuva that we mentioned yesterday, but to follow the logic of the two together, so general mitzvos, it wouldn't seem like there's much value in forcing it on somebody, that you force them to say they want to, and then they do it themselves. But, as he said, like to shove someone into a sukkah is probably not going to even be a kiyum mitzvah for that. But a mitzvah that's more result-oriented, so then maybe there is what to talk about. So, bris milah, in the tshuva we discussed yesterday, so he said that to result in removing the orla, that's a result that's objectively true, even if he's not going to be in fulfillment of bris milah. So here, too, it seems like he's focusing on the fact that not having chametz clearly is a result. The whole suffering of the Minchas Chinuch is that maybe there is also a kiyum mitzvah in doing it. So you could have that suffix for somebody owe you a mitzvah if they burn it on your behalf, and that parallels the other half of the question. You're not interested in burning it, and somebody else does it for you. So what value is there? So maybe mitzvahs in general, there wouldn't be such a value. But if the idea is that it's simply a reality of not having chametz, so then there could theoretically be what to accomplish. All right, sorry.
Yeah, no, like you said, it's result-oriented, but let's say, for example, by Bris Mila, right, it's more of a mitzvah upon the father before it is anyone else. Eventually, it is on everyone else, but I know it's before
right.
The father comes first, so what if somebody else took the baby and then, like, meaning before, like, when it was born, then the father says, no, that's my kid, and then...
And the father's going to do it.
And the father steals the kid and the deal.
The father steals it from the other guy?
Yeah.
Well, it was father's to begin with, though, so...
Right, but he didn't realize it, let's say...
Right, so it's definitely the father's quest, both before and after.
Right, so is there a priority in general, or it comes down to...
Yeah, it's clearly the father's first priority, then Mar says if not the father, then the Bezgin,
right,
and the city. Right, so yeah, clearly the father is supposed to begin with. Is it just me, or is there a spray for going on in this room? It's extremely hot, right? All right. So in any event, so to burn this person's chametz, so again, practically speaking, I don't know if you can really get away with this, but essentially he's saying that as far as dinei kfiyah is concerned, that it would seem to extend both to the active imposition of the mitzvah in this case, and that this halach, what the din is of chametz hakol mitzuvin olav levaro, that would be a function of that, which is not a halach you find by all Yisuri Hana. Yisuri Hana in general, there are different halachas depending on where Yisuri Hana it is, as far as do you have to get rid of it, do you have to just keep it away from people, what exactly it means. But chametz specifically, there is this din in beer, and that is what the Gemara says, Hakol Mitzuvin, that's better. Hakol Mitzuvin Olav Levaro, so that's what explains why there is this exemption for arsonist B who burns the chametz of Ganav A, and that's why also maybe theoretically the function of Kviya might make a difference here as well. Okay. By the way, parenthetically, I was going to mention before, anyone who wants to jump onto Daf Yomi, so today's Daf Nun, so that's the Sugya from the Vazveis that we saw, a good opportunity for Chazar. Okay, anyway, just another Daf Yomi plug for those who appreciate that. So now to move on to the get point again, so where did we leave yesterday? So yesterday, the very important machlokas between the Ksos and the Nesivas, a very, very fundamental issue, lots of practicalities, but says a ton about the issue of get. And just to get the elements down again, so the Nesivus maintained, which is based on a Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Tosfos in Daf Beis and Beis in Sanhedrin, which is the first thing on the Yeshiva's agenda for next year. So there, Tosfos explains that the notion of Kfiya in a Beis Din is something that requires three. You require a Beis Din for aspects of Kfiya, that this is a part of what is derived from Asher Tosim Lufnehem. You know, the pasuk in the beginning of Parashas Mishpatim says, Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lufnehem. So Lufnehem specifically, so the Gemara says, Lo Lufnei Akum is a prohibition of our kos. You can't go to the non-Jewish courts. And you also can't go to non-ordained Dayanim, to Hedjotos, except when we do, which is a whole different discussion. But the concept of going to an ordained Bezdin especially, so Tosus explains that that is a function of the kfiyah, that if Bezdin is going to compel people to listen to it, so then that's part of what the requirement of Bezdin goes to. So says the Ksos, that's the case. If you're going to have kfiyah by mitzvos, it means you need a Bezdin, because the Bezdin is there for kfiyah. That's what it's all about. So therefore, that's the rule for kfiyah by mitzvos. And the Nesivus disagreed, because the Nesivus had a Gemara in Bava Kamma, about an Adam hitting his slave to be mafreshim from Isser. So you see, it doesn't need a Beis Din. So says the Ksos in response, no, that's not a good example. That is talking about hafrasha me'isser, about separating somebody from an Aveira. That's not about positive mitzvos. And that requires a Beis Din. And that's got to be the case, because otherwise you'll tell me you can force a get with an individual without a Beis Din, and that can't be. That would clearly be a get me'usa, so that shows you need a Beis Din for kfiyah. So, like we said yesterday, this is hugely consequential, because the Ksos's position, he seems to be assuming that kfiyah by a get is a function of Tfiya by mitzvos. Maybe that's also the Rambam's assumption when he talks about the Rotsani Pintaliyid idea. Maybe, maybe not. But it seems like that's what the Ksos is saying. And we then brought up the question, why might one disagree with the Ksos? Not necessarily on the din of needing a Bezdin for Tfiya, but on this comparison. And what would the Nesivus' position be if the Nesivus is also aware of that Tosfos and Sanhedrin? So why does the Nesivus not think that that's an issue? So we mentioned a few approaches yesterday, and there could be other approaches as well. Right? So what did we mention yesterday? One thing we mentioned is that it could be that get and the korban also have a specific halacha of ratzon. Ratzon is why it's davka there that we find the language of rotze ani. They have to say rotze ani. That is valuable because since you're dealing with other people, so whatever you say is what defines the issue. Dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. And that requires a bezin in order to make that happen. But mitzvahs in general, maybe not. That was one approach. We also mentioned the approach that the Lahoros Nachman says, that maybe there's a more clear directive when it comes to mitzvahs in general. And getting, we don't know yet. We don't know exactly if all the cases get involves kfiya necessarily are such clear mitzvah directives, at least in the absence of a bezdin. So maybe there's a greater need for a bezdin there than there is here. Any other distinction you could think of? Any other possible chilukim? Could also be, there's a sefer that we'll also be referring to very often over the next few days. It's a sefer called Kfiya Beget. It was written by Ritzvi Gartner, who's a very prominent Dayan who's involved in these issues of getting and many other Dayanus issues. And he's part of the Otzer HaPoskim editorial committee. Otzer HaPoskim, if you've ever taken a look at it, especially on Evan Ezer, a massive work indexing everything the postmen have written on Evan Ezer, hence the name. And they've published a lot of other Svarim also as part of their brand, as part of their label, Svarim on Shemitah, Svarim on a lot of other issues that might be relevant. Published books in general under the Otzer HaPoskim label. But so the Otzer HaPoskim has a sefer called Kfiya Beget, written by Rabbi Gartner. So he discusses these issues very thoroughly. And he notes there also that one could say that the difference is, and especially also to defend the Nesivus, as far as Tosfos is concerned, that there clearly is a difference between ben adam l'chavero mishpat type things and personal ben adam l'makom type mitzvos. So one could say that anything that's going to involve dealing with different people and working out matters between individuals, that's going to require some kind of a bezdin context. And a kfiya that is an outgrowth of that maybe also requires a bezdin. While personal mitzvos ben adam l'makom, maybe that has a whole different stature to it, and that's probably also how the Nesivus understood Tosfos and Sanhedrin. That when Tosfos says you need a bezdin for kfiya, it means you need a bezdin for the kfiya that is a function of din, a function of the mishpat between people. So that's where you need a bezdin. But the lula, sukkah, things like that, maybe that Tosfos is not relevant, and maybe you can have a concept of kfiya that's of a whole different parsha and doesn't necessarily require a bezdin. Okay, so far so good. So this machlokas brings us to the get issue with a lot of fundamental questions. You know, one is, do we assume that the get kfiya is a function of mitzvah kfiya in general, or is it a different concept? If so, how does it work? And what about these questions that have been brought up as far as trying to resolve the Ksos and the Nesivus? What about identifying clearly the mitzvah obligation? What about the aspects of Ben Adam L'Chavero that are involved? What about the Ratzon component? All three of the possible resolutions that we just suggested all provoke real questions as far as the get sugya is going to involve and going to require us to pay attention to. So with that, so what do we know about get? So we know that on the one hand, that we have a halacha that a get has to be given willingly, and that the opposite of that is called a get me'usa, right? That somebody who is me'asa, somebody else, is gadol ha'me'asa yosem ha'osa, the Gemara says, probably referring to tzedakah, that other sugya, that to make someone give tzedakah is even better than want to give tzedakah. So here, to be ma'asa a get, to make someone else do the get, so generally speaking, that is a psul. Generally speaking, that get is no good, because the get has to be given willingly. How do we know that? So if you saw, I put on the beginning of the Ma'amar Makomos, that the Rishonim have different suggestions where exactly they derive that from. I saw the Rambam and the Rashbam, for example. Do they read it into the Pasuk? The Rambam reads it into the Kasavla, that it seems to be a willing act that he is doing. And the Rashbam reads it into the Nasan, that the giving seems to be a willing act. It's not 100% clear what exactly is the source, but we know that we have this requirement that a get has to be Beratzon, and that's a major component. And yet, at the same time, so we know that kfiya exists by getting. How do we know it? So we know it from a couple of Mishnayos, a couple of Gemaras, a Mishnah in Erechim, right, which, again, tying together the concept of karbanos and get for this purpose. So the karban needs ratzon, as the pasuk in last week's parasha tells us. And the Mishnah says, nonetheless, that we are able to compel someone to give a karban by pushing him out shiyomer rotza ani. And once he says rotza, that will satisfy our need for ratzon. And the Mishnah says there also b'chem le'inyin gittin. This is also how it could theoretically work as far as gittin is concerned. That Gemara appears in more detail in Maseches Kedushin on Daf Nun, if you had a chance to see that Gemara. Very worthwhile to see. And there the Gemara invokes a couple of important points. One is invokes this point of Dvarim Shabalei Reinon Dvarim, so establishes at least on some level that the outward statement of Rotzani will be sufficient for the Ratzon considerations, because it doesn't matter if it doesn't jive with what the person's thinking, because, again, as we said yesterday, with all the apologies to Neo Chassidus, Dvarim Shabalei Reinon Dvarim, different meaning. And as far as another point the Gemara raises there, which is not clear what the significance is, but the Gemara mentions the mitzvah l'shmoa d'vei chacham, that you have a mitzvah to listen to Chazal, and that may affect things somewhat. So what do we know so far? The elements, we have dinim that the get has to be willing, that it has to be a function of ratzon, and yet, at the same time, we know that there are times when we do compel it. That's explicit in Mishnayos and in Gemaras. And then in our Masechta, in Ksuvos, so we have a list of times when this happens. Right? So if you saw the Gemara, essentially the whole Amud, on Ayin Zayin and Aleph, from the top all the way down to two Mishnayos, or one Mishnah here, all the way, no, sorry, two Mishnayos, all the way down to the next Amud. So here, the Mishnayos tell us that one case where we're not kofa, and another case where we are kofa, and then the next Mishnah saying in more detail, the elu shekofa no so lahotzi, that there are circumstances where we are kofa. And so we have to figure out how all these didn't come together, but we have some places in Shas telling us that you need ratzon, other places in Shas telling us that that ratzon can be evoked forcibly from someone. And then Gemara is also listing cases where that kfiya is invoked, all important parts of the puzzle. And of course, it'll be a major discussion in contemporary poskim if this list that we have on Ayin Zayin, is this the whole story, or are there more cases? Presumably there are more cases. The question is, what's included in the more cases? What else can be a subject to such kfiya? Is it just this? Presumably not. Probably nobody would say that it's only these cases, but how much more broad can the list become? So that's going to be a question. And then, again, we'll see down the line, is there another tier, things that don't necessarily make the grade as far as actual kfiya, but there may still be a mitzvah in the Baal to give a get anyway, and how do we respond to that as a community? If we can't use actual kfiya, what other tools are available even in a next-tier situation? But before we get to that, first, the concept exists in the most extreme cases that kfiya is a possibility, and we have to figure out exactly how that works. So there are a number of views in the Rishonim that we won't be able to get to all of them today, and I'll give you some more of my Makomos that go into greater depth about this for tomorrow. But so just on the surface, so if we want to say, like the Ksos implies, that this is an outgrowth of via by mitzvos. So what mitzvah are we talking about? Right, by the way, parenthetically, generally speaking, you know, one could say if somebody wants to be Mekayim all the Tayyig mitzvos, that would be a good verb to create to be Mekayim. Right, so somebody who wants to accomplish all the Tayyig mitzvos, who wants to be Mekayim, feel free to use that one. So somebody might say, okay, so he should daf get into a fight with his wife and divorce her because it's a mitzvah in the Torah to the mitzvah of Gerushin. So nobody would say that. Again, do not try this at home. That's not good advice. But the idea, even though the Rambam does list the Gerushin as a mitzvah, so we understand that there's different kinds of mitzvahs in the Torah, that sometimes a mitzvah doesn't necessarily mean a commandment in the straight-out sense. It means a concept. We have different kinds of mitzvahs, so no one would say that b'chafila is an inyan to divorce his wife just to be mekayim that mitzvah. So what do we mean when we say that potentially kfi al ha-mitzvos is going to involve gittin? So how exactly is that going to play out? What mitzvah are we talking about? Are you?
So the Gemara mentions mitzvah to listen to the Chachamim.
So one possibility is that the Gemara in Kedusha mentions that the Shmuel Dibur Chachamim. So then, what are we saying? Is it mitzvah Rabbanu to divorce your wife? What does that mean?
I mean, you call it a Daraisa. You play with it enough. Lo Sasser.
Yeah, but without even going to the Daraisa Rabbanu connection, if the Gemara is identifying Chachamim, so what did Chachamim say about this? Did Chachamim say that there is a mitzvah for the Daraisa? Okay, it's not an actual Chiyuv, but the Rabbanu is a Chiyuv? Hope not. Right. Presumably not. I mean, presumably what it means is that there are circumstances, there are marriages which individual Rabbanim will decide should be dissolved.
Dissolved, right? Sorry? I thought when we were saying that there isn't necessarily a commandment to divorce Daraisa, but when you're in that situation, it would be a Daraisa.
Right. So then
the Rabbanim would ascertain when it would be a Daraisa.
Presumably, that's probably what it means. Although one could say maybe not, but that's let's assume it means that. So then, that means really an individually based decision. So that could mean that that's what we're talking about in, let's say, these Mishnayos and Ayin Zayin and Aleph, that maybe Chazal, right, these are not based on Psukim, these din, but Chazal were koveya, that there are certain cases where it's not fair for the wife to be asked to stay in such an arrangement, and therefore they said there's a mitzvah derabanan to divorce. Maybe that's what's described in our Masechet and Ayin Zayin and Aleph. And therefore, the mitzvah that we're talking about, Kriyala mitzvos, so there's a mitzvah, L'shvoa Dibur Chachamim, that's what the Gemara is referring to in Kedushin, and that's what's happening. Which is one of the points that the Laharish Nosson raises in defense of the Nesivis, that it could be that Sukkah, Lulav, etc., that's a mitzvah d'Oraisa, clearly, and these cases are established by Chazal, so maybe we need that. But you could say also, even more specifically, that maybe it's not just about these generalities that the Mishnah talks about, but that there is an assessment that has to be made with every individual marriage, and that you need a bezdin to say, okay, this is a situation where it's really not fair for the wife to be stuck in this situation, and therefore we're a mitzaveh that the husband should divorce. And then kviya, as a function of bezdin's assessment, could be justified based on mitzvah l'shmola de b'chacham. Are there any other mitzvah candidates for this idea, calling it kviya l'mitzvos?
I raised yesterday,
perhaps Lurecha Kamocha, and you're not the first. Chassam Sofer also writes this. Chassam Sofer in Shuva Sevena Ezer, in Simon Kuf Samach Dalid, at the end of the Shuva, so he does discuss that as a possibility, that we could say that we have Lurecha Kamocha, and says the Chassam Sofer that both possibilities would be a bitul of Yahav Lurecha Kamocha. For a husband under certain circumstances, where it's miserable for the wife, it would be a bitul of Yahav Lurecha Kamocha to force him to first force her to live with him. That would be a negation of Yahav Lurecha Kamocha. And if she's not going to live with him, but to be tied to him without living with him, that would also be a bitul of Yahav Lurecha Kamocha. So it says the Chassam Sofer that that could be, that there are such circumstances where not giving a get is a violation of the mitzvah saseh of Yahav Lurecha Kamocha, and therefore the kviya maybe could be understood as a function of that. Is that the whole picture? I have to see, but that certainly tells us something about what's going on.
Is that related to the Gemara in Kedushin in the second parak that says that a person has to see his wife before he gets married to her?
Because of the Kamocha?
Is that related?
So, you know, there's a lot to figure out from that Gemara. That Gemara, which is quite shocking, I spoke about this during the introduction of the Daf Yomi Sim Nashim, But the idea that the Gemara says that one has to make sure before he gets married that he's happy with who he's marrying, because otherwise there'll be a bitul of the Yahavzariyat HaKamocha. So it's a fascinating idea, because after telling us the mitzvah to love your wife is the same mitzvah that we all have to love each other in this room, which is quite a surprising concept. So it seems to tell us that Yahavzariyat HaKamocha exists in many different intensities. And it's all the same mitzvah, but that it exists in its greatest focus towards the person closest to you, i.e. your spouse. And then it applies to everyone else to a different degree. So your question is well taken. That is, the Chassam Sofer saying that in general this is an application of the Hafleh Kamocha between any two Jews, or especially in light of the fact that the Gemara identifies that at the core of the requirement to love your spouse, and therefore that should also say, as they say in English, if you love it, set it free. So then the expression of Ava would also, in Davka, in the spousal context, have a ramification here. Could be. We're already over time, so apologies that. I'll just mention there is another approach also, which the Shach discusses, that you could also say, and we'll flesh this out a little bit more, that the kfiya by a kedushin, by a get, undoing a kedushin, could be because marriage involves certain benodim mechavero obligations, certain monetary obligations, and that if one is, for whatever reason, not fulfilling those obligations, or those obligations cannot be fulfilled, and especially because we know that the physical relationship is one of the obligations between the spouse, the husband to the wife, and it could be for, it's usually at least that much cannot be fulfilled if there really is such tension between them. So then, kfiya maybe could be justified from that perspective, saying, okay, you have essentially a monetary obligation, which Beis Din should be able to enforce as a monetary obligation. So either you can fulfill your obligation, or you have to get out of the marriage, because the marriage is what creates the obligation. So perhaps, as the Shach discusses, maybe kfiya functions based on that, that either you're going to live up to the ksuba, you'll live up to this whole masechta, or if you can't live up to this masechta, so then you have to exit the situation that obligates you to, and the kfiya is essentially a function of that, a function of the monetary component of the marital relationship. So all of these are important perspectives. How will this affect the practicalities of how it works? So that we will start exploring tomorrow. So just quickly, what we saw the Baharus Nasin about Pir Hamed Bal Karcho, how that could be a function of kfiya. We compared it a little bit to the Mila Tshuva. We talked again about the Kfos and the Nesivis. We mentioned three different approaches, how to understand the Nesivis position, really how to be machalic on what the Ketzos says, and then we started questioning about how that affects Gittin, the assumption that Mitzvos is the basis for Kfiya by Gittin. We talked about those possible sources for Ratzon by Get, about the sources in the Gemara that tell us that the Get can be forced, and the components of Mitzvos Shmodim and Chachamim and Tzolim Shabalev, and the Mishnayos that talk about where it could be forced, and then we started discussing the question then, what's the basis for Kfiya, and we saw essentially three possibilities, either Mitzvos Shmodim and Chachamim, and Chazal or Kovei in specific cases, and in general cases, when it happens, or a mitzvah v'hachtoriach kamocha, how exactly that plays out, with some sofer, or a monetary kfiya, which is saying that if you can't fulfill the chiyuvim ben adam l'chaveiro, then you have an obligation to exit the situation. The kfiya is going to address that component. All right, to be continued, wish you all a wonderful day. And a really good thing.